You go into your shower feeling tired, but as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower 37 minutes later because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day and smell great doing it. Irish Spring Body Wash and Bar Soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.
The Around the NFL podcast is running out of money tags.
Welcome back to another edition of the Around the NFL podcast. My name is Dan Hansis, and I am in a room that just filled with heroes. Mark Sessler, Chris Wessling, and Greg Rosenthal. What's up, boys?
Hey, Dan.
Not just hey, Dan. Woo. How about happy birthday, Dan Hansis?
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Thank you.
Okay. Oh, come on. Why does it rotate?
My wife calls me Wolfman.
Okay, I reloaded.
There will be blood.
Damn you all to hell.
Is this who I am?
How does rain work?
Somebody's salty.
Ooh, keep an eye on the Browns. They're special.
Oh, hang on a second. I have another phone call.
This one's for
Dan.
This one's for
Dan.
This one's for
Dan.
Oh, yeah. Also, that one's for
Dan.
Happy birthday.
Hey, Dan. This is Brett Veach. Happy birthday, buddy.
Very well done.
There we go.
Wow. Lindsay,
big ups to Lindsay. Lindsay put that together in a very limited amount of time today.
That's a professional. And did you guys record Vox there as well? Or was that just taking
a little bit? A little bit. At her prompting, we did a little bit
of
Vox.
Yeah, wow, it was big of Mr. Veach to call it last week.
It was.
You haven't been hit with a cease and desist from Brett Veach yet?
It's coming.
He
sent it by snail mail, so it'll be here soon.
Don't think I didn't have to Google how to send a voice memo.
Well, thank you very much, Lindsay. And getting tweets today. Oh, are you taking today off? No.
No, that's not how this
works.
There
are no days off here. We are in draft week.
No.
So,
got to
grind. Me and Belichick,
no,
maybe
we're
more alike than I'd like to admit.
No.
Because it's grind time.
It
the draft is less than 4 days away now. Shut up, Bill. And just get here. Please get here. You know, I've already said multiple times in the past 2 weeks, they should move the draft up. Today, when I was sitting in our little cubicles, those doomed cubicles, Greg, that really, especially on your birthday for whatever reason, and you're starting to get older, you start to wonder what you're really doing. And I'm sitting in this cubicle, almost trapped. You might as well put bars around it, is the way I felt. Time actually stopped. And I was looking around to see if anybody else noticed. For about 90 seconds straight, time stopped. And that's what it really feels like with the draft. It's got to get here. It's on Thursday, but come on, clock.
The best time for the draft is always a week before the current date. Put it in the rearview mirror always. Mm.
Yeah, absolutely. And we are so excited to bring back one of our favorite games at the end of today's show. Go get my lunch, you total degenerate. The draft edition. So... big, big, big wager. Wes, you put pressure on yourself for the free agency. Didn't work out. Even more pressure here, you would say. Correct?
I don't know if I want to approach this as a competitive person or not. I don't know if I've given up on that or not.
Yeah, I think you could look at it as a total lack of pressure since there's no repercussions to winning or losing or
yeah.
Sandwiches ever get exchanged.
Well, that's not necessarily true, though. It's just a matter of the people that are losing have got to cough up some sandwiches.
Well, that's you're pointing it at me because when I look at the way that they've put the tally together on the gogetmylunch.org, Nick Fortier, nice job there, I owe every single person sandwiches and not a single person owes me anything.
It's been – well, we'll go through – before we get into this year's props for the draft, we'll look quickly back at last year's draft. And I just have to say I was flabbergasted by a couple of your props last year, Mark. There's a reason why you tend to owe more than you're owed.
Right.
And this – last year's draft was a perfect distillation of that. We'll get to that in a little bit.
Yeah, when we're dedicating only three props each time, don't use one or two In each show on the end of the earth or the end of, you know, the event that we're
the
covering.
The thing is, here's the way I look at it. No one really remembers almost anything anyone wagered at all. If I got an apocalyptic scenario correct, it's getting picked up by CNN.
Yeah, right.
It's getting picked up all around the place by multiple media outlets, and that's all that anyone remembers. Yeah, it's the
long game. Well, but no one would remember because the world would be ending. But you
no,
would have
portions
a lot
of the world will.
You would have,
I feel like it wouldn't be at the top headline, yeah, though.
You would have
that thing happen.
It would be a sidebar.
You would have
NFL scribe predicted this. Bang, it's going to be a whole documentary.
Like it'd be a legend in my mind.
Thank you.
Right, just before you and everyone you love, you know, cease to exist, you'll have the knowledge that so many listeners of our show, their last thought will be like, well, I guess Mark was right. He called it.
Greg can cling to the fact that he picks like a second, you know, a second tier Packers running back getting the fourth amount of guaranteed money in free agency. Well, that's a legacy. Sit on that.
Maybe you'll get like a Gil Brandt shadow account runner tweet.
I like that. I mean, that's big.
Yeah.
That is
before
big.
The fireball hits the earth, props to Mark Sessler, who knew all along that this was happening.
That would wrap it at that point. Curtains, baby.
We also have a special guest we're going to get on the show to talk about another draft prospect and then some news. In fact, let's get to the news, Ms. Fulton, because the top of the news regards Mark's favorite team, who's picking first in the draft.
You know those videos Odell's got, left to center, let's say. Not a fan of those. But he's the best wide receiver in the league.
All right, we start with the Cleveland Browns and Monday morning quarterback, founder, sled dog, icon of the NFL sports writing business, Peter King, wrote in his latest Monday morning quarterback column that a source he, quote, trusts, who is very, quote, well-connected and, quote, very often right, said that the Browns won't take Wyoming quarterback Josh Allen at number one. And that is in contrast with the steady drumbeat, Mark Sessler, that the Browns would or were in love with Josh Allen and his upside. We don't have to dig back in because we just did it last week on the show about all the reasons why you might not want to take Josh Allen at number one. But what I take out of this report, and even King acknowledges, you're kind of a slave to your sources this time of year. It doesn't mean you're right. But it seems that starting now to swing back to Sam Darnold now as we get to the final days before the draft. And I wouldn't be surprised if there's a leak in the next 24 to 48 hours that Darnold is the man. Do you agree?
Yeah, I do agree. And I can't help but remember when the Rams were all but guaranteed to take Jared Goff. And it sure felt like the league got in the ear of the Rams and said, please bring this to the 11th hour. Don't sell this down the river with 4 or 5 days to go. I don't think that John Dorsey's out there telling anyone that knows Peter King or anyone else at this point, what he's going to do. But I think my guess would be inside the building that there's been healthy debate over two quarterbacks. And I don't think that it is Josh Allen. I think it was probably coming down to Darnold and Baker Mayfield. And right now, Darnold's the guy that the combine, when the combine began, everyone said it is Darnold hands down. Then everything happened, and we're back there, like you said. I just think that, barring a surprise, they're going to go with what seems to them like the safer pick in Darnold. I don't think it's the guy that I want, but it's the guy they want.
Well, Chris Ballard was in Kansas City.
What's your favorite type of frog?
with John Dorsey, and he said on Good Morning Football last week that Dorsey wouldn't tell him who he was taking. He wouldn't tell anyone in the room. That you could get a guess or a feel, but he would listen to everyone. And I was, you know, assuming he was basically talking about the Patrick Mahomes, that even a guy who's working with him didn't know what he was going to do. So that's why it's tough to really know from the outside, but it makes sense. Definitely makes sense.
Did you, Mark, say you don't want them to take Darnold at number one? Who do you want them to take?
I couldn't have been wrong on almost every quarterback they picked all along, so this means nothing, but I just sort of want Rosen or Baker Mayfield. I don't know why. It's something about one of those two.
Sessler has a
no. I actually feel like I don't have Sesslers about Browns draft picks anymore because I've been wrong a million times. But
You and all, everybody else. There's been a lot of Browns draft picks
including
that look good in the moment.
The massive flood of unaccountable scouts inside that organization that have failed over and over and over. So please get it right.
Well, they have been fired repeatedly.
True, but they're making a lot of money after the fact.
It's actually the same scouts
things.
That get fired and rehired. No one's noticed. It's just the same people. That explains so much. In other news, another topic we don't need to spend a ton of time on, but we'll check in on. Willie Snead officially to become a member of the Ravens. Rap Sheet reported the Saints will not match Baltimore's offer that was made to Snead. He signed that on Friday. 2 years up to $10.4 million, $7 million base. The Saints had 5 days to match that, and they decided not to. So Snead joins the Ravens. Better fit, Wes.
I love the fit, and it's interesting to me that outside of the flyer on RG3, essentially the only moves the Ravens have done so far this offseason have been to the wide receiver core, and they've overhauled the entire wide receiver core. John Brown was a very interesting flyer on a speedy guy. Michael Crabtree, Willie Snead. To me, this is a major, major upgrade over Jeremy Maclin, Mike Wallace, and Breshad Perriman, or Chris Moore, whoever they had on the field last year.
Bad news for Dez, too. We touched on that, but the Ravens take the Ravens off the list. We heard the report that the Giants aren't interested. He's not going to the Eagles. The Redskins apparently not interested. This could take a while for Dez.
Feels like the Harbaugh / Flacco era somewhat depends on continuing on making this these receivers work, Snead, Crabtree, Brown, and that passing game.
I think they didn't want to go into the draft having to feel the pressure to draft a wide receiver in the first. There aren't a lot. I could see one or two wide receivers tops going in the first round potentially, and I think they maybe want to use that pick if someone fell to them like Lamar Jackson on a quarterback.
And I just want to say, I think they've improved their wide receiver group, but John Brown, Michael Crabtree, Snead, none of these guys are can't miss to be productive players next year. No. It still feels very much a crapshoot whether the Ravens are going to be moving the ball, but the one thing we do know is that Justin Tucker is going to kick the shit out of the ball and is going to go right between those uprights.
I would say this
consistently.
I would say one thing about that wide receiver core, though. They complement each other really well. It's not like they went out and tried to find three number ones.
Yeah, you're right.
They found Snead in the slot, Crabtree's your red zone guy, and Job Brown's your deep threat.
Meanwhile, on the throne of sleaze, Rob Gronkowski was at Gillette Stadium. Good news, Patriots fans. Here's the bad news. It was on behalf of the Monster Energy Supercross team. Gronk was at a dirt bike gala. I didn't know that was a thing that existed, but you learn a lot when you follow Gronk in the offseason. There was also a press conference at this dirt bike gala. I keep on stopping myself from saying dirtbag gala. But I guess in my youth, not a lot of kids had dirt bikes, but it was very popular in the 80s in movies and stuff. Like, oh, he's got a dirt bike. Usually you were a dirtbag.
A rougher set of a child would be roaming around on the dirt bike, probably getting into fisticuffs.
Anyway, Gronk was asked about his status for the 2018 season during this Monster Energy Supercross press conference. Here's what he had to say.
I've been riding dirt bikes. I've been training really hard. I can vroom, vroom really good. I can ride that bike like no other. And my speed is up today.
Are you still contemplating retirement from football?
It depends on how my racing skills go today.
And of note, the top headline on Patriots.com on Sunday read, Gronk presser a, quote, bad look. And that was taken from a commentary from WEEI, a local sports talk station in Boston. Guys, is Gronk trying to get himself traded right now? Greg, is it a big deal?
The crafts must be excited because he was trying to get people into the stadium for the motocross event that day at Gillette. That they're making money off of. So it's all, you know.
So it's all good.
It's all part of the, one way to shade that news story.
It's all part of the game.
All right, Kissing Cousins, your thoughts.
100% of the reactions I saw after this basically took it as Gronk giving Belichick the middle finger.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's fair.
Well, the second answer where they were like, are you going to report to workouts? And he basically was just sort of a hard no. It's like there would have maybe been a different way to kind of tone shift that answer to say,
well,
hey,
he's
you're
not
still
really good at tone shifting.
No, he's not. But
not really a gifted improv actor.
I don't know. I mean,
you listen to Gronk in any transcript. I'm not making fun of the guy. He's very successful and extremely wealthy. Seems to have a nice family support system and, you know, he's done well in his life. Not usually any sentence really. They don't come out too well. You know, he's not going to be able to give you an artfully crafted non-answer answer.
Do you plan on attending the optional workouts that are upcoming?
No.
Why?
Got dirt biking skills to work on.
Just a bit dismissive.
I think at Gillette Stadium, it is a troll job of the Patriots. And I'm wondering if he really is really trying to get traded and then getting a new contract with wherever he gets traded. And then it makes me wonder how feasible that remains, especially with the draft a couple days ago, away.
He's trying to annoy them, it certainly seems like. There was a report, though, that they're fully expecting that he's not retiring, that they don't even think that's an option at this point, which seems germane. But to your point, you know, on a scale of, like, shocking things Bill Belichick has done as a general manager, how high up would trading Rob Gronkowski on draft day be? At this point, like, he's done more shocking things than that. I don't think
that would be up there, but
it would be up there, but it wouldn't be that crazy. I just think it's not going to happen primarily because I don't think they wouldn't be able to get a great offer for him, and that's the only reason.
Wait, what would be now that I think about it, what would be a bigger stunner from Belichick in all time, trading the greatest tight end in the history of football?
Randy Moss trades back to the Vikings.
Would that be bigger than Gronk?
I think it was. I remember that was the most shocking trade I remember. It was after the season had started.
Richard Seymour.
Not shocking. That was a big trade.
Malloy
was shocking. But yeah. That one came out of nowhere, and it was shocking the moment. It was
none of these would be bigger than Gronk, though. Really?
Not a bigger story, but bigger surprise. Just because at this point, you're right. It plays to everything we know about Belichick that he would trade him.
He doesn't like
this. For the right value.
I mean, how does Belichick, like, an offseason where all these players, all the reports, no one likes Belichick, they're tired of Belichick, they're over his MO, they're tired of dealing with this guy, and, like, you've got Gronk mouthing off, you've got Brady playing this sort of, you know, tete-a-tete business where who knows if he's showing up to
some little
workout?
Bud Kilmer.
When does he snap?
John Voight vibe here. Maybe there's some inmates are about to overthrow
in
asylum.
In life, when do you act like the cock of the walk? When do you start swinging it around because you don't care?
You got nothing to lose when you're at Gronk's level in life.
Gronk has options now.
Yeah.
He has post-career options, and yeah. I don't think it's about forcing a trade or hoping for a trade.
Yeah.
I think it's, hey, I can go to wrestling or I can go to the movies. I don't need football anymore.
I mean, he's got great business acumen investing in the horse named after him just days before the horse pulls out of Kentucky Derby.
Yeah. Finally in the news, the NFL announced that a parrot will deliver the Bucs' third-day draft picks from a pirate ship. I should say the pirate ship that's located at Raymond James Stadium. Mark, if you can give me a brief commentary. Remember when your boy Costas would get up on his big – he'd climb up on top of his big boy soapbox and,
all right,
and give his dissertations at halftime of Sunday Night Football? Can you – because I feel some of the – it's this third round, let's have a talking animal, you know, let's have a guy jumping off an airplane – these are still young men that are achieving their draft dreams, and we're turning this over to farce television. I'll set you up there, and hopefully you'll run with that.
I may have more to say on this during our Go Get My Lunch segment, but what I would say
like more
is
champions.
That what annoys
Mark
me...
Mark looks like at his highlighted, typed-out pages of notes.
What annoys me highly is that for us, who cover the game, that by the time you get into mid-Saturday, you are ready to hang yourself from the ceiling of the newsroom because the draft couldn't be any less headline-worthy or name-worthy or anything, and you need to get that podcast done and get home to other human beings you call your family. And what they've done with this third day, and I'm sure anyone inside the building listening to this will not be pleased with my takeaway. No one's listening. Is that they have said, let's take day three and extend it by multiple hours because of nonstop chicanery. Because we need to have last year a baboon announce an Indianapolis Colts draft pick as if that helps anyone it's exceedingly entertaining to watch.
It's not delaying the draft.
Well, Greg, I understand that you're going to stick up for it because it's NFL Network, but I would say that in terms of actual programming, it is an insulting watch for anyone that comes there to actually watch football content. And now it's listen, you've got R2-D2 announcing a pick. You have Chewbacca announcing a pick. I don't need that. I don't need any of this.
This is eating into your script, but I like it. It feels like the appropriate spot.
I don't need any of this, and nor do you.
I'm with you. None of us need any of it, but I'm – I do find it funny that people are like, oh, the sanctity of the draft.
It's not the sanctity. It is the names. Do not tack 90 minutes onto a day that is already excessively boring.
There's no extra
boring.
Time. The picks are being made anyways.
It is longer because the pick is made. They stop down. They've got to go to camera 8 out in some random city.
They continue to make the picks. In that draft, they don't even mention most of the picks. Most people don't even get their names mentioned. They just said, oh, let's catch up.
By the time you get to the end, they would wheel it along on a ticker tape on the bottom.
How about this, Greg? You mentioned sanctity, and that's not something to get caught up about. Saw your son, Walker, this weekend. Beautiful young boy. Imagine 10, 12 years from now, 15 years from now, he's drafted. Yeah. The fourth round. And you're sitting at the television.
About as likely as me getting drafted.
The whole family's together, and they have a hammerhead shark typing out Morse code of your son's name. Rather than some proud representative, Wes Welker making the announcement for the Patriots, you have a hammerhead shark, and they put a little hammer on the top of his head and then have him tap out Morse code.
How about the thousands of third-day draft picks over the last 30 years that haven't had any announcement? That's the vast majority of them, and no one's cared at all about
that. By the way, you didn't answer the question.
I would be fine with it. It'd be kind of funny. Okay. At least he'd get a little pop. You know, most of those guys don't. They literally don't get announced.
But that's
it's just a ticker thing at the bottom.
Which, by the way, got us home at 5 p.m.
Here's what I learned a long time ago about TV networks. When your shows are no longer targeting me as the audience, I feel no guilt about leaving your show. Like, why would I have to watch a show when the target audience is 12-year-olds?
And one last point. Who's the most important single individual in NFL Network's draft coverage?
Mystery relevant.
Charlie Yuke.
Mike Mayock.
And Mayock can
Yuke with some pop.
A lot of good bits.
We'll get into that.
Mike Mayock. That guy nearly walked off the set in disgust, and it wasn't manufactured with the talking baboon last year. Now they're going to have parrots and who knows what else just to get a reaction out of Mayock. Let's not completely.
It is a World War. You know, it
that
is
reaction
a powder
though
keg.
Is what guaranteed that it was coming back. Our reaction is what guaranteed it's coming back. Someone actually cared about the fifth round of the draft for a second.
Greg,
even
you're
if
safe.
They didn't like
you checked your network boxes here.
I definitely am not a fan.
It is a powder keg. Agree with me. It is a powder keg.
I'm just
keg
saying
the
second that Mayock had that reaction, that guaranteed it was coming back because they just wanted to annoy him again.
And now a word from our sponsor. Spending too much time at the office, on the couch, or sitting in your car, you begin to confuse what you do with who you are. That's why you need Spartan. Spartan is an obstacle course racing company with races for every athletic ability and skill level. But it's not just a race. It's a way of life with 60 races all around the country, starting with 3-plus mile, 20-plus obstacle sprint, sprint capitalized, all the way to 14-plus mile, 30-plus obstacle beast capitalized. Any racer can find what's right for them as long as you leave your excuses behind. Wes, pay attention. Let it all propel you through hills, climbs, and carries. Will it be easy? Will it be worth it?
Oh, yeah.
Absolutely. Sign up for the best weekend meeting of your life and race alongside fellow Spartans like Randy Moss. Probably the NFL player. Excuses don't live here. Find your Spartan race today. Visit Spartan.com/around for an exclusive offer to find a race near you and view training and nutrition tips. Spartan race, baby. All right. It is time for the fifth and final installment of our draft quarterback series. And who have we gone through so far? We started
Sam Darnold.
Sam Darnold.
Yep.
Then we moved on and we hit Josh Rosen. Then Baker Mayfield. Then Josh Allen. The big four. Okay? But that's not it. We got one more to hit for a very particular reason, because the man that I reached out to demanded it. And now he's joining us live on the Around the NFL podcast. I reached out to this guy. I said, hey, which one of these big four do you want to talk about? And you know what this man said? He said, screw you. I only want to talk about one guy, and his name is Lamar Jackson Spice Rack. Welcome back to the Around the NFL podcast.
Glad to be back, sir.
Spice Rack,
how are the acoustics, by the way? I just found a safe space. Is this How are the acoustics?
You're safe with us, Spice Rack. It's always safe in here.
It's sound a safe good. Space, and you do sound good, and everyone should know that Spice Rack, in addition to being Chris Wessling's desert consigliere on all matters draft-related, also works on the at the pool top of one of the most exclusive Vegas hotels and resorts, which I will not share for privacy reasons. He is the Spice Rack. He doesn't need mobs of fans jumping into the pool trying to get to him. But what I want to tell you is that he excused himself from the pool. Don't worry, he's not a lifeguard. He is talking to us now. Spice Rack, first of all, how are you, buddy? It's been a while.
Buddy is right. I've missed you guys dearly. And I'm doing okay. About the same. But I've been mostly concerned with you guys.
Oh, yeah?
Oh, why is that?
In what sense, Spice Rack?
Thank you, we think.
I sense some tension. And I've heard some rumors.
Talk to us. What do you
from
hear?
Who?
What are the Sparrows telling you?
You got people in Vegas talking to you.
We'll talk about it off here. I thought we were here to talk draft quarterbacks. What happened to that?
I like it. That's a tease. That's a tease.
You brought it up, Spice Rack.
Yeah, well, I'm full of BS, and you know, sometimes you just ramble and make some shit up.
You've done a nice job lighting a fire in this studio now, and there's a lot of dissension, a lot of sideways glances. But Spice Rack, okay, here we go. You only wanted to talk about the Louisville quarterback, Lamar Jackson. Tell us why your pants are on fire when you talk about this kid.
Well, I mean, I think it's relegating him to like a secondary player as far as these main quarterbacks are concerned. That's my first issue.
Right. You don't like the idea that he's not mentioned in the breath of the first four quarterbacks we've talked about on this show.
He's accomplished a lot more, and he has upside for days. I think really though, Hansus, the reason I wanted to kind of come on and talk about him is sort of the angle that even if Lamar Jackson does not work out long term, and he's not really a project in the sense that can he run past people, or if he's got a second to throw, can he complete that pass? Because he can, and he will, and he looks to throw. But it's when you look at the extremely mobile quarterbacks, even if they don't last, Steve Young lasted, Steve McNair lasted, you know, Randall Cunningham came back and did his thing. Usually they'll pop early. I mean, look at how explosive Vic was early. RG3, Kaepernick gave the Packers 180 rushing yards in the playoffs. Deshaun Watson had the top NFL offense in the NFL last year for a brief moment. Tebow won a playoff game. He's out of the league already. Vince Young out of the league, but didn't he win 60%+ of his games for the first couple of years?
Rookie of the year.
There you go. And so if you get a smart play caller attached to Lamar Jackson, I don't see any way, barring injury, but that's the case for everybody. Okay, you want to talk about his frame, being slight of frame? Of course that's a little bit of an issue if he doesn't learn to – I mean, Robert Griffin III never learned to slide. One of the craziest developments in the history of my life.
It's the worst slider I've ever seen.
How is it possible?
It's unbelievable.
He's that athletic yet unable. Lamar Jackson won't have that issue. Now, I mean, I'll tell you what else Robert Griffin struggled with was just absorbing a hit. This guy did not know how to get out of the way. Lamar Jackson's not that. His instincts seem like Robert Griffin didn't jump off the screen the way Lamar Jackson did. He may have run past people, but there wasn't a lot of wiggle attached to his game.
Spice Rack, I have a question about the – I will, thank you.
I feel like Spice Rack's feeling good in a good headspace, and we're getting good.
So far, so good.
We are. I would say so far, Spice Rack.
I'm not feeling good. I'm feeling terrible.
All right, well, just stay confident.
Well, you tried to sow some seeds of dissent among us, so that was a tough start. But
I actually gave him points for that.
Yeah, I like
that. Right now, he's sitting at a solid B right now and maybe trending upward. Wes, go ahead.
The Vic thing, I heard Trent Dilfer, who knows quite a bit about quarterbacks, say he's light years ahead of Vic as a prospect. I go back to 2001. And to me, Vic was not only the number one overall pick, but there was no debate about it.
Right.
And he was viewed as the most exciting, exceptional college player we'd ever seen at the time. How is it that Lamar Jackson is viewed by someone like Dilfer as light years ahead of Vic as a prospect? And do you see him as light years ahead of where Vic was at the time?
I see him light years ahead as a thrower. I just think quarterbacks in general are coached up a lot more off season and seven on sevens, and as well as just in games. I mean, Frank Beamer and Virginia Tech, they couldn't have run a more antiquated offense.
He threw like eight touchdowns one of his years, Michael Vick. It's like he didn't throw the ball.
What's that?
Yeah, Michael Vick barely threw the ball in college.
Right, and when he did, it was erratic, and they tried to sort of I formation, and you know, that's not the way to spring Vic free. Lamar Jackson is a lot more polished as a passer. I don't think there's any question about that.
And I've heard a lot of talk that now that every RPO is the rage now, that Jackson, if he's in the right offense or the right play caller, he could thrive in that type of setup, although there have been real questions about his accuracy as well. So he's not a perfect prospect.
I think it's overrated. I think it's overrated big time. I think he needs to rein it back in as far as trying some of these Aaron Rodgers passes. He's not there yet. But he's so much, again, erratic is the word I use, because if we're going to do a comparison with Vic, I mean, Vic was all over the place. Lamar Jackson, he's a nice passer. I mean, you saw him on, you know, his best days. He looked just unstoppable. But he's by no means like a huge project as a passer. I just don't see it.
Spice Rack, is it an indictment of the National Football League scouting base and front offices 1 through 32 that he's not seen as one of these top four, that there's the four quarterbacks, then somewhere in the deep distance is Lamar Jackson, who some team is going to try to pick and then mold an offense around? I mean, how can you be the most electrifying athlete in the draft and being sort of comprehensively ignored up to this point compared to the other four quarterbacks, each of them who have known flaws?
And in addition to that, do you believe that Bill Polian still has all of his faculties?
No on Bill Polian. Last question first, Jim. But this top four, top five stuff, this is a softball for me. I mean, Josh Allen, what has he done other than measure? I mean, he's in a lower level conference. He didn't raise the level of the competition. And let's not forget how athletic he is with that big, strong arm. Let's say a comparison might be Jay Cutler. Remember, young Jay Cutler was very mobile. When he was at Vanderbilt and had nobody on his team and was against SEC defenses, he was in games till the bitter end.
He was making players
every
better.
Every damn week. Josh Allen was unimpressive always. Show me what he did ever to impress. And so the size and the arm strength, I get it. And I'm not looking at every little thing. So, but I can't imagine taking Josh Allen over Lamar Jackson.
All right, how about this? You ready? Here we go. Ceiling for Lamar Jackson as an NFL player and a player comp and a floor.
I mean,
this can get you into A-minus territory if you nail this. Your appearance.
There's not the ceiling. If you're looking for player comparison, I don't really have one. Body type, he reminds me of Jake Plummer, but I don't know who you want me to freaking lie? I mean, I don't know. I mean, Randall Cunningham was slight.
Not preferably.
He was slightly built, but he was a lot taller, you know. And Robert Griffin III, again, I saw as like a robot who happened to be fast. Well, I don't know.
Here's why
I got to tell you, Deshaun Watson does not have the physical ability of Lamar Jackson.
Right, that's the thing. There is no. It's hard to compare because he's a new generation player. That's why, like, not that I'm a scout, but like watching Lamar Jackson, it is. I'm writing about this for this week. Like, it is surprising to me, and maybe everyone is wrong. Maybe it's not a big four. Maybe you're right, Spice Rack, and the NFL agrees with you, and he's going to go in the top 10. I don't think that would be that surprising. At this point last year, Deshaun Watson, no one thought he was going in the top 25, and teams were trading
up.
Well,
who's saying he's going to fall beyond even 12? I think everyone would agree with you.
At this point, well, almost
Lamar Jackson going 10 to a 12 is totally what's
literally every mock draft on our website right now has him falling past that.
I totally feel like when these four other quarterbacks, if that's how it happens, get plucked up early, someone is going to jump up and make sure they don't sit around at 18 or 19 waiting for Lamar Jackson to fall for them. That is nonsense. Spice.
My thought is he's a
terrifying prospect that's not, to pass on.
My thought is he might go ahead of those guys though. Why not? Because his upside is the greatest running quarterback of all time. I don't think that's that crazy. He's coming into the league as maybe the greatest running quarterback in college football history. The only comparison is Vic, and he's like kind of 15 years later than Vic, so he's obviously like just at another level in terms of his running. Like that seems to have such a high base.
I'm sorry to interrupt you, Greg.
No, go ahead.
Vic had that real sturdy build, and so Vic, even though he was terrible at avoiding hits, his body was meant to, or, you know, built to endure that a little more. He could tuck, so Jackson is vulnerable. He's slight of frame and he still thinks he's Superman back there, but they have that same wiggle. And I'll tell you what else, when they get outside the pocket, there's not many. Aaron Rodgers on the short list, you know, maybe like Matty Stafford. I'm not putting Lamar Jackson's arm strength in those three guys category necessarily, but that wrist snap, I know you guys must know what I'm talking about. Just sort of like on the move. And I mean, it's not wasted motion at all. It gets there in a hurry. And Lamar Jackson's done a lot of things as a thrower and just as a quarterback. He's a Louisville. Okay. Louisville's not like, you know, it's not one of the blue blood college football programs. It's okay. And he had Bobby Petrino coaching him, but he's running it up on Florida State or running it up on North Carolina, whoever. And I mean, just to put a bow
on this one, what I'm hearing from you is not only is it wrong to say that he's a huge project who will take a year or two, but a team would be forfeiting one of the advantages of having him by sitting him on the bench, because as you said, if you have a coach who can do it, he has the potential to take the league by storm if defenses aren't ready for him. And if you're sitting him on the bench, you're forfeiting that potential.
Wes, couldn't have said any better, buddy. I mean, you drop him Kyle Shanahan, or you drop him.
What about Josh McDaniels?
Of course. I mean, hey, that sounds like a beautiful relationship to me. You know, we'll see.
Can make up for drafting Tim Tebow.
This is not a Tim Tebow situation.
Exactly.
This is not a Tim Tebow situation. But the right play caller, I mean, I will say flat out, there's no way that Lamar Jackson, even if it's a 6 or 8 game segment of one season, that he doesn't absolutely light it up with smart, even without smart play calling, really. But if he has the right guy dialing it up, I mean, Lamar Jackson's not going to miss an open guy 40, 50 yards down. He's not going to underthrow it to be safe, you know, some Tebow lob duck. That's not the case. This guy can really throw it. But when you see him with the ball in your hands, I mean, he's electric.
Spice Rack,
electric.
You've made an incredible case for your boy. I'll even let you real quick. We got to go, but I'm going to give you yes or no on this. If you want to get in for the first time on a go get my lunch prop that Lamar Jackson goes top 10, do you want to put sandwiches out there as a prop? Just throwing it out there. And then we have a chance to take you on it if you want to do it, just for fun.
Yes.
Anybody want to take?
Why would I not take this? A, I'm in on this. B, yes. Whatever it takes to be in on this.
I so agree with him. I just think this is he's going to get rushed up the board. The idea, it's nice in early, you know, February to say that he's going to go in round two.
DJ has him in round two right now.
Nonsense. Nonsense. DJ, but please.
I will take you up on that, Spice Rack.
No way, round two.
No, that was going to be one of my props. Jackson goes in the top 10.
Oh, really? Sorry about that.
No, it's all right.
Wow. He was involved in one of my props, too. But in the spirit of this game, I will take Spice Rack on this.
All right, so Wes and I will take you on at Spice Rack. I, as you know, will be in Vegas in a few days and next week.
I do know that. We talk privately because we are friends.
We are buddies now. We talk about WrestleMania 7 and things of that nature. So if you do, in fact, lose that prop, I'll be right in your neighborhood to collect both on behalf of myself and Chris Wessel.
Bring it on, Zeus.
All right. Hey, Spice Rack.
Great meeting with you guys.
A-. Really nice work today.
I'll take it.
All right, get back to work. Spice Rack, there he goes.
All right.
There we go.
When I hear him say, "We are friends," it tells me that there was a period of time, as Greg and Wes and Mark have suspected, where you were not.
when we weren't close friends?
Well, when something dark and mysterious happened that I think potentially one of you or the both of you don't clearly remember, but there was a sense of a falling out.
Maybe if only we could get an insider to report on this.
I mean, I have not seen Spice Rack since that first meeting. So I don't know what could have changed, but maybe you're right, maybe you're not.
Time passed.
All right, so that's a great seg now into Go Get My Lunch Draft Edition. We already have one prop on the board that Lamar Jackson goes in the top 10. Wes and the old Zeuser have taken Spice Rack up on that. And, of course, track all the props on gogetmylunch.org. Nick Fortier, amazing work. He has the all-time standings. He has a soundboard. He has who owes whom. And just so everyone knows, last year, Wes, you had a nice draft, 8-5. Mark, what I was referring to last year was 2-year props. It will rain during draft hours.
That was not a terrible, and it almost did, by the way.
But it did not. And that was normal. A team misses a pick. That was probably your giving away sandwiches on one level. It's only happened, what, once in 20 years, something like that?
Yeah, it was a bit off the cuff, but at the same time, there were animals making picks and picks arriving by spaceship and stuff, so, you know.
And it should be also mentioned, Greg, that the old Zeuser went 11-2 last year. So wow. I have that is probably the all-time greatest single round in this game. So I have a lot to live up to.
People still talk. Yeah.
There is.
You walk down to Cozy Inn, there's still a buzz about how you did in last year's sandwich wager.
I did a 30 for 30 about it, actually. I just recorded my parts for it. It took a couple
ESPN
days.
ESPN passed on that, but you yourself came up with that.
All right, so let's get into it, go around the board. But we'll start, as we always do, with a universal prop. And this universal prop, the second quarterback off the board will be blank.
Second. That's random because we don't even – no one knows the first.
Exactly.
First, too easy.
Exactly. Well, we could say first, and then most of us would probably say Darnold.
Easy. Maybe Baker Mayfield.
Then maybe make Sam Darnold the second quarterback. That's what it's about, Greg. Yeah. Let's go around the room, starting with you, Mark.
All right, second quarterback off the board, and I expect it to go to the New York Jets, will be Baker Mayfield.
Okay, Chris Wessler.
Josh Rosen.
I was waffling on those two options because Rosen is starting to pick up some heat with the Jets now after Mayfield for the last 10 days or so, but I will stick with Baker Mayfield, second quarterback off the board. Sam Darnold, your boy, Mark, goes first.
I guess I'll go Baker Mayfield.
Okay, here we go. Now we go through it, starting with you, Mark Sessler, your first prop.
All right, the tie-in that I mentioned, prediction. NFL Network draft crystal baller Mike Mayock again becomes a major side plot by destroying the league's somewhat corny day three shenanigans. I will quantify this by saying, A, this is how you would measure a win or loss here.
Yeah, that's important.
Mayock trends on Twitter to some tangible degree. I mean, like, legit Twitter heat. Because here's the thing.
How about maybe U.S. trend?
U.S. trend.
That's the little sidebar.
On draft day, I don't think that's too much to ask. Because I think there's another world here where they basically say, they get in his ear and say, no more. You stay silent on all this stuff.
I don't think they control.
I'm just saying there's a world.
I think they love it.
Okay, so then, all right, so part B of quantifying this, there are at least a handful of articles, you know, all over the place written that quantify how much Mayock hates day three of the draft and its ultra excessive wave of tedious bells and whistles that ponderously slow the process to a crawl while guaranteeing that our Saturday wrap-up pod, which used to operate efficiently, now begins at like 6:45 Pacific time due to all the white-hot, overly slick anti-drama.
This narrative is very similar
basically,
to the Lions not showing
not
up
done,
to training camp.
Not done. Basically, Mayock's annoyance needs to become a thing. Yeah. And you guys can decide if it does or does not.
Yeah, we'd have to bet against that?
You would say, essentially, it's going to pass without being a thing.
Well, my honest feeling on this is that NFL Network is already baking this into their coverage. Yeah, and that's why the cockatoo or the parrot is involved. And whether it's a thing or not, they are going to needle Mayock on it until they get the reaction they need.
But you have incredible power, because if you decide, yes, it becomes a thing, you will owe me sandwiches. But if the three of you decide it does not become a thing, the same way that you snowballed me with the Philly special, I will be teed up to purchase yet another round of meat-infused sandwiches for three well-fed whites already making a bundle of money to cover a child's game.
but teed up as far as it goes when it comes to you paying out your sandwiches.
Right, yeah. This is like, well, what does it matter?
I'm going to buy one of those like heroes that go the entire length of the newsroom at this point. So I feel like this.
You're saying it won't happen.
I'm saying it will happen.
Oh, I agree.
Well, who would disagree with that?
Well, I feel like the engine behind this particular prop got a little destroyed in our pregame.
Also,
I had nothing else prepared.
Even if we didn't bring it up, it was always about just you making this rant rather than a prop. Let's keep it real here.
I think someone should take me up on it.
This is a huge gamble, but I'm gambling that Mayock has learned how to laugh at himself.
But even then, it'll become a thing and be trending, and they'll make
it. And he'll laugh at himself by having fun with the idea of being annoyed.
I think it won't trend if he is like kind of playing along but being kind of annoyed, and no one really senses real annoyment.
It's the third day of the draft. There's not a lot of pop. That's the whole idea behind it.
Beyond trending on Twitter, there will be articles all over the place.
Yeah, I
want to find how much he hates
multiple articles.
I will give you. I will give you the copy. That is your. You can deal with that. You can decide whether
it has to be both or just one of the two.
Let's see.
At least a handful of articles written about how much Mayock hates
I
day
think
three
both,
of the draft.
Because I'm saying
handful.
It's got to be super strong. It's got to
be both.
It's got to be both. It's got to be articles, people writing articles. It's got to be Twitter trending in America. And, you know, you deciding whether or not it is
what,
or is not.
What is the determination or what determines what a real article is? Does it have to show up in a published?
It's not time. But it's not going to be up in Newsweek or Time necessarily. But it's going to
literally
be
anywhere.
A flood of sports articles.
Internet articles.
Yeah.
I think that Mayock is legitimately annoyed, but he's playing for the camera and is not going to allow himself to be needled, so he'll go along with it.
Well, let's see.
All right. I'm not sure about that one. I got to think about it a little bit longer. The second part's a little
There's no way
sloppy.
To really quantify it.
Yeah, I think I'm walking into a trap.
You have extreme powers. So anyways, continue.
Go ahead, Wes. I'm going to stay away from that.
The Colts will not draft at number 6 overall.
Sure, I'll take you up on that just for the fun of it. I could certainly see that going either way. But
I believe that the Colts are – wrote about this in a mailbag today. I think they are in what they hope is going to be like a accelerated rebuild where they are looking at this year as a way to get everything back on track and have Luck playing and use this draft to rebuild, and they didn't spend in free agency. They'll spend next year. So I think it would make sense if – what my hunch is there is correct, is that they are going to trade back, get more draft picks, and continue to patch a roster that has so many holes.
I'm with you, and I feel like they, during the team press conference about the draft, they made it almost painfully clear, oh, we see, you know, primetime players down at 12, 13, 14, almost to telecast, we're going to move down, and we already told you that we believe we got a good player at that place that we didn't. If Chubb fell to them at 6, I could see them sticking. I don't think he's going to, and I agree with you. I think they've always broadcast a high trade possibility, and there's too many teams that got to race up to get
Dolphins,
that quarterback.
Bills, Cardinals. That was kind of advertising like, hey, we're a place you can come.
And draft, if they stayed there and draft Quentin Nelson, which a lot of people speculated, that would be a perfect pick for them, but 6 is so valuable.
You had your trade value chart the other day. They already wiped
Jimmy
the floor Johnson's with the Jets in terms of the trade value. I mean, they picked up incredible value, and so I think they'll be happy with that. And they're such good players. I'll say they'll stay.
Nobody's wiping the if the Jets get their quarterback, the floor.
Yeah. I'm just saying in terms
so
of
you're
the trade value
up.
Chart, they, I'm taking them up.
All right,
just because I think it's less likely than 50%.
I like to do, because it's the team I know the most, I always like to do one Jets one. So I'll just say the Jets will draft Baker Mayfield. Anybody taking me up on that?
And I get the field. Every
the
other
field.
Player
every
in the
every other field. Oh, okay. Every quarterback.
Yeah, I'll take it. Why not?
Well, I have few rules that actually, you know, kind of go against you as someone that would, you know, wager here. It's not really smart. But I like them all to line up. I want to root for the same thing. I already said Mayfield to the Jets as the second quarterback. So, So I'm just going to have to not take you.
Wow.
I just fully believe they're taking Mayfield.
I don't want to have two that are opposite each other.
So I just got West there.
Apologies. You know what? Because the other reason I lose in this game is like, oh, no, it's better for the show if I just take Dan up on something.
No,
that
that's
I totally
all in your head. What you want to do.
Believe me, I'm up in my head
round.
On this game.
Okay. All right. So I just got West there. All right. You're up, Greg.
I will go with the Patriots take a quarterback in round one. How about that?
Well, I will. I totally might.
I'm narrowing.
You will
down
find
a,
out
a
that
round.
I agree with you soon. I'm not taking you up on that. Of course, they're taking a quarterback in round one. You're saying?
I said round one.
I'll take you.
I'll take you.
Hanging it.
Yeah, I think they're going round two.
And remember, everybody's got to have at least one onion hanger.
That might have to qualify because he took my Lamar Jackson in the top 10. I'm scrambling. I'm scrambling like Lamar.
That ruins mine.
Well, I can expound on Greg's. I'm not.
We only know like
because,
seven players in this draft, so it's tough to have a totally different play.
Round two, Mark.
Okay, this is very similar to Greg's, but in the past we've seen the Patriots address positional needs by drafting players in bunches. Bunches, Dan. They did it at tight end in 2010 with Rob Gronkowski and Aaron Hernandez. They did it running back in 2011 with Shane Vereen and Stephen Ridley. They did it in 2015 by nabbing three defensive linemen with their first four picks. This introduction on my part, laced with a heavy dose of cherry picking to push a point, is my way of saying the Patriots will select no less than two quarterbacks in this draft, not one but two. Anything less, and I will owe sandwiches to a trio of Caucasian football heads.
Another one?
Who feel inclined to endlessly base in-studio parlor games around food and vice. I will certainly get this bet wrong and be forced to Uber to an overly ornate sandwich shop in the middle of some Los Angeles hipster mecca to pick up Vietnamese roast beef dipped lamb heroes for a three-pack of football scribes who can't get enough animal product in their bellies while kicking their feet up on the chair and watching the clicks roll in on articles imbued with their untouchable gridiron knowledge.
Mm. This sounds like a fantasy world. Where can I get that, Mark? I'm stuck with the one who never pays off his sandwiches.
I love this guy.
This guy's great.
This guy's driving all over Los Angeles to pay off his debts.
That sandwich sounded delicious.
Why is there still glitter on this table from November?
And
I will take you.
I will definitely take you on
that. Yeah.
Two QBs.
Yeah, well,
that's how you do this.
Who the hell cares?
I'll take you, but you know what? I don't feel great about it. I think that sounds about right. Maybe a one in the first and one in the sixth.
And then
or
you say Brian Hoyer beat it.
That does sound exactly like what they do. So, but I'm going to take you just on principle.
All right. Yeah.
For calling us, you know, Caucasians.
And don't think we forgot when you went on your USO trip, you never said boo to any of those guys that were eating steaks and all sorts of meals the entire time. Come back here, and you're picking on us about our eating habits.
I was their guest on some level. I was not. They were also three or four times larger than me.
I was their guest. How so?
They were guests.
I don't know. I'm not going to sit there like, hi, I've known you for 8 hours. I'm going to start picking on the third dish that you've ordered as a main course tonight.
I'm intrigued
that's
by
how you build rapport.
I'm intrigued by these Vietnamese heroes because that's combined.
I don't know. I just
inherently
remember,
are Greek, and you got the Vietnamese. You know, it's
you guys are like all into Vietnamese sandwiches. That's what I remember.
One time, what Mark's referring to, it's a now closed establishment. But one time, Mark had to pay off sandwiches and went and got us all banh mi sandwiches.
It was ridiculous.
And Mark was completely repulsed by the.
No, I just it was like, what really? This is what you picked.
All right, Wes, you're up.
Oh, well, staying with the Patriots quarterbacks.
Okay.
Patriots will not trade up for a quarterback.
They won't trade up.
They will not trade up.
I will take you on that.
For a quarterback.
I will take you on that.
As much as it would be saucy if they did, I think it's more likely that they do not.
Yeah, I'd be surprised.
So I'm with you. I'm going.
There's so many Patriots quarterbacks props.
Taking you on, Wes.
So, Greg, your philosophy of staying consistent. Who's the quarterback that's going to fall to them in the first round if Lamar Jackson's going in the top 10?
I don't know. We'll see. Mason Rudolph, maybe.
All right.
Ayaleta at 31. Who knows?
I like this one. Actually, I'll save that one for my last one because it's pretty wild.
We got to go three?
Well,
no. In an onion hanger.
Here we go. One of the big four. It's a little bit of onion. It is. I'm going to lose. One of the big four, and as we know, Darnold, Rosen, Mayfield, Allen, is drafted by a 2017 playoff team.
Today I'm going to show you a little bit about growing huge onions.
I love it, and I'll take you. I love it.
Because almost certainly Jets and Browns are taking quarterbacks, so it's really just those two guys.
I mean, the only thing, though, Bills makes it.
It's the Bills. Yeah, I'm not going to take you on that.
Oh, that's some stinky bait.
I'm not taking you because the Bills are taking a quarterback. They absolutely are.
Unless there's no quarterback from them
today. They are.
But if they take Lamar Jackson, Dan still wins.
No, you said big four.
No, that's true.
That's true.
Yeah.
It has to be one of the big four.
It is silly that Lamar Jackson's like, I beat Deshaun Watson in the Heisman, and I can't get in a group with Josh Allen.
Josh Allen threw 6 interceptions against the JV team in Iowa last year.
It's absurd.
So who's taking me on this?
You say that one of the playoff teams drafts – one team that made the playoffs drafts one of the top four quarterbacks.
Of the four top quarterbacks, Darnold, Rosen, Mayfield, Allen, one of those guys or more gets drafted by a playoff team from this past season.
I'm not going to take it just because of the Bills factor.
Bills still banging you all this time later.
I mean, I think they are one of the worst
playoff teams
we've seen.
The Bills are the trading up with the Colts scenario that I see. So
nothing?
Sorry, Dave.
Stinky bait.
I got nothing there?
Well, don't you think that's – I would think that's
– Would you take that?
That would be a favorite.
The Bills.
You put that up in the board in old Spice Racks employers, you know.
Which I would never do.
They would be favorites. That would be a favorite. I would think the Bills take one of those quarterbacks.
That's what I'm saying. So are you taking me?
So no, I'm not.
No, you're not. Okay, you're up, Greg.
All right. Get ready. Because, you know, you guys maybe haven't been doing the studying, but watch out. Because Isaiah Wynn, spelled I-S-A-I-A-H, Isaiah Wynn, a guard from Georgia, really like what he does as a road grader, gets taken in picks 27 to 32.
Talk about stinky bait.
Hold on, I got to Google Isaiah Wynn.
Hardly a sexy proposition, but.
Oh, what if
it was supposed
26?
To be recognizing the fact that I have no idea about any of these players or what's going to happen.
Right. Well, it's a straight guess for all of us.
I mean, I'll take you up because
just gonna why not pick a guy in a spot?
You're being subversive, is what
I feel like it's probably going to happen. You're going to win this, and run around the hallways glowing. But I'll just take you up.
This is exactly how Greg gets atop the standings, and then brags about it forever. Because
have I said one word?
Some guard gets picked at 27 to 32, or what?
Have I bragged about this?
Just
forever?
Know we will.
I'm
not
with you, Wes. I think the competitive. It's not a competitive. It's not a competitive one.
Just for gits and shiggles, I will take it.
Okay, we'll see what happens. But you're not going to get any credit if it checks out.
I don't want any credit.
Okay, last round.
I'm trying to end this parlor game.
Such right, a qualifier.
If you get to a point where there's too many things you don't want to do with our show, you could leave the show.
Oh.
It's not that.
Now you're killing off Go Get My Lunch? Or
well, just maybe for the draft. All okay. of us, you know, we don't really, you know.
All right, we'll talk about that privately. All right, Mark, last round.
I'm trying to decide which one to go with here. All right, how about this? We will see no less than 4 trades before we get to pick 20. And that means trades that could happen starting now where someone trades up to number 2.
Mm.
But, like, there are at least 4 trades that impact the top 20 and not less. And you know what? I looked back around because I've done something like this before, and I got waxed in the past because that doesn't happen as much as you think. It would be rare to see 4. There isn't a lot of...
So the Jets trade doesn't count. It has to be a draft
day trade.
No, I would
say...
Trade. Right.
Well, what do you guys think?
That shouldn't
does that
count.
Not count?
I don't think that should count.
Because that,
you
that really would only be 3 from here on out. I'll
right.
say I'll say 4 more trades.
4 trades
now feels very
between
unlikely.
Now and the 20th pick.
Or would it have to be like during the draft?
No. I think no. Because if
Starting now.
If the Bills traded at number 2 in 2 hours, that's one of
that
them.
Counts.
Yeah.
I'll take you on it. It's a good one.
Okay. I'll take you. That seems like a good over-under, though. That sounds about right.
Wes?
I am not going to take it. I think the smart money would be to take it, but I have, as Mark sometimes does, go by intuition, and I just have a feeling there are going to be trades.
Cool.
All right, Wes?
If the Giants stay at number 2, they draft a quarterback.
I will take you on that.
I will take you, too. I like that.
That's my onion.
Yeah, that is one.
I like the
and I like it. It's an onion hanger that's got a chance to reel in a lot of sandwiches, because I'll take you on it, too.
All right.
It's a good one because logic still dictates or it makes sense that the Giants would take a quarterback. Everything points to they should take a quarterback, and we've heard nothing except for the if Darnold falls maybe and all that stuff.
Right.
Feels like maybe a smokescreen. I'll take you on it, but would not be surprised.
I think I'm not likely to win it, but what the heck?
Yeah, hang an onion.
Got to hang an onion.
Walla Walla is a big onion. Giant sweet Spanish onions are good. And a red zeppelin is a big red onion.
All right, This one I'm going to give credit to Sylvester Valderrama on Twitter, who threw it out there as an option to do it, and I liked it. At least one player from every major position outside kicker and punter gets drafted in the first round. Quarterback, running back, tight end, wide receiver, tackle, guard, center, defensive tackle, defensive end, outside linebacker, middle linebacker, or inside linebacker, cornerback, safety. Everybody.
He's got safety covered, which is one you could look at and say maybe not.
Yeah, looking at the kind of the, I'm now just scrolling through mock drafts, essentially, and cheating. Wouldn't that be the case in a lot of first rounds, except for the center? That might be your problem.
There's only there's one option,
James Daniels.
Come on, Jamie.
I'll take you because it's fun.
I've heard three centers bandied about.
Oh. As a first round pick?
Yes.
Because the rest are almost all certain. I don't know if this is, this feels like about a 50-50.
I feel like we are going to see every position. I'm not going to take it.
No one has taken any of Dan's wagers.
That's the way to play it, though.
It is his birthday.
That hurt
birthday.
Me in the last round, though.
It is his birthday, and I'm going to take it to be a gentleman.
Thank you, Mark. That's very kind of you. Wes and Greg, both.
I guess I won't, because to me it would be very – basically, center is the only position that possibly couldn't be taken. Almost all the others.
Well, tight end is a little
tight end, too. You're right.
Tight end, a little dicey at that tight end position. Greg's starting to feel like Mike got to get in on
this
action.
I'm not going to take you.
Get in.
I'm not going to take you.
Okay. Finally, Greg.
And I'll go – because I feel like you usually are right if you choose the quarterbacks to get taken earlier than expected. I'll go Mason Rudolph goes before pick 27 or earlier. Mm. So he'll be the sixth quarterback taken in theory. I'll even make it more specific for no reason whatsoever, just throwing away sandwiches, that he'll be the sixth quarterback and get taken 27 and earlier.
I will take you because of the specificity.
Yep.
I'll take you too. I like that.
I was going to say overly specific just so I would avoid trying to say specificity.
Such a hard word.
Overly laser focused.
yes, I'll take you on that for sure. Because it's got two things have to go on your
– I think you're feeling maybe that's New England's move.
Oh,
feeling that could
he's
be
banking
someone.
On it.
The Saints. I mean, I picked 27 as a possibility. Okay. As the backstop there.
Oh, this is the year. The Saints tell all the reporters every year that they're going to take a first-round quarterback, and they never do.
I think they tried.
They wanted to.
They've been doing it since Garrett Grayson or whatever his name was.
It's fair.
Dick Grayson, Robin's alter ego?
Whatever it is.
GoGetMyLunch.org. It is the fine site run by Nick Fortier to track all of our wagers, and we will circle back to this on Saturday's draft, and that should – remind everyone listening of the schedule because it is different this week. The next time you'll hear from us is Thursday night. We'll record late Thursday after the first round is completed, a complete round one recap, and then you'll hear from us again. It only happens a couple times a year, maybe once a year. We do a Saturday show, and we will do the full seven-round recap, maybe some winners and losers. Like I said, go over our props. And that will be, Mark, the offseason will begin after that show. Yes or no?
Yes, because it certainly has not been an offseason, I think, for any of us on any level at all.
Right. That will get
us
to the
offseason. That gets you to the point where there isn't, hey, every 5 days there's a massive NFL tentpole event that you must attend or latch onto intellectually.
I mean, it'll be a bit of a drag because we'll have to get Mark down from the ceiling he's hanging on, on Saturday.
Listen, just move it along on day three.
And also,
come on, R2-D2, for God's sakes.
And just to put this on your radar, Mark, I'm thinking later in June, I'm going to talk to some people. Have you covered the rookie premiere event in downtown Hollywood?
I've done that before. I did it with you, and once was enough.
All right. So, yes, you'll hear from us on Thursday night, draft round one, where a lot of things will be different. So lots to look forward to. This is Dan Hansa signing off for Quiet Storm, the mailman, the old boss. And Lindsay Fulton behind the glass. Thank you for that drop, Lindsay. It was very kind of you.
Happy birthday.
All right. Till draft night!
You go into your shower feeling tired. But as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower, 37 minutes later, because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day. And smell great doing it. Irish Spring Body Wash and Bar Soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.